that Christ brings. And I hope we're excited about the season. I did want to share with you, some of yours might be green, others might be red. It's Christmas, you know, so you got to have red and green. But that little flyer does have all the events that are remaining through the rest of the Christmas season. And the intent of that is for you not only to be aware of what's happening, but to be able to share this with your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, maybe a stranger on the street, to simply say, worship with us at Dover Hill this Christmas season. We do want to remind you of the youth program this evening at 6 p.m. And then this coming Friday, the 15th, is going to be our Christmas caroling. That'll be at 6 o'clock, and we meet here at the church, and then we go different places down. We go down to the senior citizens and housing there and share with them and maybe a couple other stops this year. And then we gather back here at the church for just a fun get-together. And we have when we get together, we snack a lot. I mean, it's just kind of who we are, and that's all right. But we'll have snacks and stuff and just a good time of fellowship. And so that's the 15th, 6 o'clock. And then on the 17th, will be the Christmas Cantata, celebrating his birth. And so we invite you to come be part of that, and invite your friends and your neighbors and everybody to come be part of the Christmas Cantata the 17th at 6 p.m. And then we have our Christmas Eve service December 24th. That's Christmas Eve, if you didn't notice. Never mind. Anyway, that's at 6 o'clock as well, and we hope you'll come out and be part of the Christmas Eve service as we prepare to worship the Lord, and just some great events that can be part of our Christmas traditions as we continue to worship the Lord this Christmas season. And so we hope you'll be part of that. And as always, you know, it's good to go, but it's always good to be home and be back in Martin County. Don't be envious of us. We showed up in Florida and it was about 37 degrees. And so for a couple days, I was still in my thermal shirt, t-shirt, and flannel. Just felt like I was at home. then when the cold, it started to warm up, then it started raining. So weather-wise, you guys didn't miss a thing. But we had a great time as we had the opportunity and privilege to share with the inmates in the various prisons that we visited, and the Lord moved, and it was just a good time, and so thankful to be able to share the gospel with them, and for them to be able to respond and to interact with them. And so as we move through the Christmas season, if you just continue to pray for those that are incarcerated throughout the season, not only in Florida, but even here in Indiana and throughout the country, they still need the Lord and to experience Christ in their life. And so remember them. Well, we've been, this Christmas season, we've been talking about, Mike shared with you last week about the gift of Christmas, that indescribable gift. And I want us to know that we've been given precious gifts from the Lord in the Christmas season. And so we want to share with you in regard to the gift of Christmas in respect to Emmanuel. The song, "I'll Be Home for Christmas," is beloved by many, maybe even some of us, and probably most of us could sing at least a portion of it from memory. It celebrates the joys of being with loved ones during the Christmas season. It talks about the snow and mistletoe and presents under the tree. And all those things add to the joy of the season. But being together, being present with one another, is at the heart of the song, "I'll Be Home for Christmas." Yet the song ends on a rather somber note, if you would, "If only in my dreams." That desire to be home with family and friends is so important that, in a sense, we dream about that if we cannot be there. And the truth is, unfortunately, togetherness, even at Christmas, is only a dream for many. There'll be some that won't be able to be home for Christmas. There's some that was not with us this Christmas. However, in the midst of all that, one of the names for Jesus, of course, the gift of Christmas, is Emmanuel, which reveals God's desire to be with us. On the first Christmas, God came to be with us through the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Today, I would like for us to explore the concept of Emmanuel and what that really means, not only to all of humanity, but what that means for you and I today as we move through the Christmas season. So I want to draw your attention this morning to Scripture, if you would, Matthew chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 22 and 23 this morning. Appreciate if you would stand for the reading of the Word. Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 this morning. And it shares with us, "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." Join us for a moment of prayer. Dear precious Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, we are so thankful for this season, for this time to experience anew the birth of the Messiah. And so I ask this morning, Lord, as we come to your word, as we come to this thought of Emmanuel, that we would recognize, like we never have before, the concept that God is truly with us. And so I ask today, Lord, that you would just move on each one of us in a very powerful way. May we experience you, and may we know in this season, Lord, that you truly are with us, and Lord, that you continue to move upon our hearts and minds in a very special way. We ask, Lord, that you would allow us to come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that allows for the preaching of the Word. Lord, we pray for your will and your way to be accomplished as we gather here today. In your name we pray. And amen. You may be seated this morning, but I would like for us to really think about Emmanuel, this concept of God with us. We find in Scripture three, if we could, manifestations of God's presence. Spiritual presence, physical presence, and indwelling presence. And we're going to talk about each one of those as it pertains this morning to the Christmas season and then for us this morning. And so I'd like to start with this concept of God with us. Kind of a sense at a look at Emmanuel. And when we talk about God with us, it really is about his presence. When we talk about God with us, when we talk about Emmanuel, it is all about the presence of God. And so when we say God with us, it's about the very fact that God is present here, now, in the moment. And so as we start with the concept of Emmanuel, the prophecy that a virgin's going to conceive, and she's going to bear a child, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Before Christ comes into the world, what we find in the Old Testament is the spiritual presence of God. We see the Israelites in the desert, they have fire by night and cloud by day. Spiritual presence. We have verse after verse that shares with us that God will be present or God will be with us. If we looked at Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, it simply says to us, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so we'll see over and over and over again in the Old Testament, from the words of Isaiah to the Psalms, the prophets continue to share with us in some form or fashion that God will always be with us. And that is a reference to His spiritual presence in the world. Emmanuel is all about God's spiritual presence, God with us. Through all the pages of the Old Testament, you'll see that God was with Abraham, God was with Moses, God was with Joshua, God was with all the prophets. His spiritual presence, He moved on them. And so when we talk about Emmanuel, we talk about God with us, present. Something important about being present, being together. When we talk about God with us, Emmanuel, it is this concept that no matter where we go, no matter what's unfolding, what's happening in our lives, God is always present. Emmanuel, God with us. But not only do we discover in Scripture this concept of God's spiritual presence, we have this beautiful concept that God became flesh. His physical presence. Not just spiritual, but physical. Just as physical as you and I. Emmanuel, God with us. Physically present. John chapter 1 verse 14 shares with us, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." When Jesus was born, God became man. Emmanuel, God with us, the very physical presence of God in the form of Jesus. Physical presence of God. He was not part man or part God. He was completely human and completely divine. Every aspect of humanity and every aspect of God. What we would recognize this morning is that before Jesus came, people could only know God partially. Spiritual aspect of God's presence. After Jesus came, after He was born, people could know God fully because He became visible, tangible, touchable in the form of Jesus. I can't help that every Christmas season, I think about that moment when Mary was able to hold Jesus in her hands and to be able to look into His face. How precious, how moving to be able to hold God. Physical presence in your arms. I can't help but think about Simeon at the temple when he first encounters Jesus. And he says, "My eyes have seen the salvation of the world." Physical presence. Jesus is the perfect expression of God in human form. Emmanuel is about God's physical presence with us. And so as we talk about God's presence, we're not only talking about spiritual presence, but we're talking about physical presence. And then we'll also find in Scripture, a third understanding of God's presence. God not only became man, but God also became the helper or the Spirit of truth. I don't mean to take anything away from God's presence that moved in the Old Testament, the spiritual aspect of God's presence, nor the beauty and the wonder of God becoming flesh, His physical presence. But I'm telling you today that this was God's ultimate expression of His presence, and that is the indwelling presence of God into the life of humanity. God became the Spirit of truth, whom we often refer to as the Holy Spirit. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." What a beautiful promise Jesus shares with the believers. An expression of God's presence beyond spiritual. Now, if we can get this in our mind, beyond physical. Jesus, I'm going to send to you the Spirit of truth, the Helper, the Holy Spirit that will be in you. Note the difference. Spiritual presence with us, around us. Physical presence, able to touch, able to hold. But this greatest expression, indwelling in us, is what Jesus says to the believers. He says also over in John chapter 16, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you." Jesus makes a powerful statement here. He says, it's to your advantage that I go away. That's perplexing for most. It was perplexing for the disciples. What's better than God's physical presence? They have Jesus. They can hold Him. They can touch Him. They can physically hear Him. What's better than that? But Jesus is saying, hey, it's an advantage that I physically leave, because something greater. That's hard to comprehend. That's hard to put in our mind. Something greater than something physical that we can touch. But Jesus says something greater, better, to your advantage, I will send you. Reference to the Holy Spirit. I will send Him to you. And so we find in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, that Jesus gives specific instructions to the disciples, to the believers. And He says, "And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, 'You have heard from Me.'" Some of Jesus' final words to His disciples, while He was still physical after the resurrection, He says to them, "Stay here, right here in Jerusalem, until you receive the promise." The promise was the indwelling presence of God. And so we find in Acts chapter 2, verse 5, that tells us because they tarried in Jerusalem, that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Indwelling presence. God's ultimate plan in regard to His presence in this world. Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" Even from the beginning, you got to really get this when we're talking about Emmanuel. Even from the beginning, God designed humanity, humans, you and I, to be a temple. Not for us to look at and say, "Man, I'm good looking." Or any of those types of things. But for the indwelling of His presence. That's how we were designed. Psalm says that we were fearfully, wonderfully made. We were designed to house the presence of God. If you think about that for a little bit, you have to be amazed in regard to this thing of Emmanuel, God with us. Note, if you would, and I think this is so powerful, in the Old Testament, we would read time and time again that God moved on. You got that, right? Repeat that with me. Moved on. One more time. Moved on. What we find in the New Testament is that God didn't move on. God moved in. Am I the only one excited about that this morning? God moved in, not on. We're not talking about God's spiritual presence where He's everywhere, and that's powerful and amazing as it is. We're not talking about the amazement of God coming in flesh as a child. Jesus said Himself, "This is to your advantage that I physically go away so that God can move in." Indwelling presence. Moved in. Let's say that. Moved in. One more time. Moved in. He's taking up residence in us. When I think about that, I'm almost awestruck when I think about Emmanuel, God with us. But in this moment, it's Emmanuel, God in us. That's the beauty and the wonder of Emmanuel. God's presence now in us. Beautiful, wonderful gift. God's presence. Now, we have the opportunity not only to experience God's spiritual presence that surrounds us, we have the opportunity in this Christmas season to celebrate God's physical presence as we celebrate the birth of the Messiah, Jesus. But today, right here, right now, we can celebrate the presence of God's Spirit in us. And so when Jesus was born, Emmanuel took on a whole new definition. God with us, spiritually, physically, indwelling. And we find Scripture says that I will be with you forever. What we find about God's spiritual presence is it comes and goes. We find the Old Testament moved on. There's times when the prophet would say, the Spirit filled the house. Jesus, born, physical, died at Calvary, victorious over death, alive, ascended to heaven. Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, in us forever. Always present. Isn't that a beautiful present? The indwelling presence of God. Emmanuel, God in us. God's present or God's gift to us this Christmas is His presence. Not to be confused with present, but His presence that occurs because of the birth of Jesus. That is Emmanuel, God with us. Ever present, the gift of Christmas. Second Sunday of Advent, we receive two very precious gifts. The indescribable gift, Jesus. And this precious gift of His presence. Not just with us, but in us. Let's stand together.